Friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. I'd like to consider today with you the Akedah, Genesis 22, the story of Isaac and Abraham's test. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in the altar and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took a knife into the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of God. Please be seated. So I'll tell you right off the bat what the title of the sermon means. Akedah. It is the Hebrew word that means binding. The story of Abraham binding his son Isaac for the sacrifice is one of only a few stories in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, that has its own title. The story is just that important. It is one of the most famous, and frankly, it's one of the most troubling stories in all of the Bible. Abraham binds his own son, his beloved son, his Isaac, lays him up on the altar, raises the knife with every intention of sacrificing his son in obedience to God. Now, if you're not a frequent churchgoer, or you try to avoid church, and you happen to be here because family coming, or just whatever reason, you might think to yourself, you know, this is the kind of stuff that makes me want to avoid church and avoid the scriptures. This story of patriarchal child abuse. What is this doing in the Holy Scriptures? It's so disturbing, so troubling, that God would ask his man Abraham to do this, and that Abraham would be willing to do it. And the truth is that there are some passages of the Scriptures that leave us with more questions than answers. And that is not necessarily a bad thing, because there is a whole lot more to this story than a simple moral lesson like God wants you to have the faith like Abraham had. That's just too easy. This story is supposed to make you think, and then rethink, and then think again. Soren Kierkegaard wrote a large volume about this one story, and yet he admitted that the more he thought about it, the less he understood it. This is not spiritual cotton candy we're dealing with here this morning. This is meat for the soul. This is something you're supposed to chew on and chew on for a while, and that's as it should be. The Akedah, the binding of Isaac, is not a story for simple imitation. This is a story for deep introspection. It's like a mirror. It shows us something about ourselves that maybe we otherwise could not have seen, like the smudge on my cheek, that I can't see it except if I look in the mirror. So let's look into the mirror of this story and see what we can learn about ourselves and about our God and our relationship to Him. It's the story of a man named Abraham who had been called by God decades earlier to leave his home and to travel to a land that God would show him. And God was very good to him. God blessed Abraham in this new land, although Abraham was a stranger there. And yet, as the years kept advancing, there was growing disappointment in Abraham's heart and in his eyes. Just like so many of us are disappointed in this world for whatever reasons. For Abraham and Sarah, his wife, it's that they were unable to have children. No heirs, no one to take care of them in their old age, no social security, no joy in life. Well, Abraham got to be 75 years old, and God then finally promised Abraham that he would have a son, and that through that son, Abraham's family would become a great nation with people as numerous as the stars in the heavens. Well then, 10 more years passed, and still no son. Now Abraham is 85, 86 years old. And at this point, he and his wife Sarah, who's about 10 years younger than he is, decide that they need to take matters into their own hands. And Sarah gives her maidservant Hagar to her husband Abraham to have a son through her. And the son was conceived and born, and they named that son Ishmael. A son, yes, but not the son that God had promised through Sarah. And still the disappointment lingered in their hearts. Another 15 years passed. Now Abraham is 100. And now God visits him and reaffirms his promise that Abraham and Sarah will indeed have a son. This time, Abraham and Sarah laugh at God. And that's understandable, isn't it? I'm 100, my wife is 90, and now you're going to give us the pleasure of having a son? 25 years after the promise had first been made? But sure enough, God is true to His word. And Abraham and Sarah have a son together. They name him Isaac. Now it's his son, his only son, his beloved son, his Isaac. But I wonder, is it possible that Abraham, after all that they had been through, had come to a place in his life where he loved his son, his only son, his beloved son, his Isaac, that he loved his son maybe a little too much? Is it possible that Abraham reflects our very human tendency to worship the created things instead of the Creator, as Paul says in Romans? Is it possible that Abraham was starting to love the gift more than the giver? If so, that's idolatry, and it needs to be identified and dealt with. And we can relate to that, can't we, to idolatry, and we can see ourselves reflected in Abraham and in his tendencies. Those are very human tendencies. We also tend to love our families more than we love God, which explains why we would never think of missing a family gathering, but we don't think that much of missing when God's family has gathered. We tend to respect our peers more than we fear God, which explains why we will go along with our peers even when we know that what they're doing is contrary to the will of God. We tend to trust our government more than we trust God, which explains why we so dutifully pay our taxes, but we squawk if it's ever mentioned that the church could use a little funds. The point is, We become so enamored of the gifts in our lives that we forget to use them to honor the giver. A seminary professor points out that the whole key to understanding this passage is in the words of God to Abraham when God says to him, "Take your son, your only son, the son you love, Isaac," and with these words, God belabors just how precious Isaac had become to Abraham. And it therefore suggests that in the mind of God, the whole point of the Akhidah, the binding of Isaac, is to test whether Abraham still loves God above all else, even more than his son. There is a Jewish midrash. A midrash is an interpretation. There's a Jewish midrash of this passage that makes this very same point. It takes the words of God in verse 2, and it couples them together with responses that you imagine Abraham might have spoken to God. And so verse 2 comes off like a conversation between God and Abraham, and it goes like this. God says, "Abraham, take your son." And Abraham says, "Which son?" So God says, "Your only son." And Abraham says, "I have two sons." Remember Ishmael. So God says, "The one you love." And Abraham says, "But Yahweh, I love both of my sons." So God says, "Isaac." And Abraham says, "Oh, I was afraid you meant that one." And so Isaac is revealed to Abraham, not only as his most beloved son, but as that which he loves most of all in this world. And the danger for Abraham is that the gift, his son, is about to become a substitute for the giver. There was a time and a place in Abraham's life when he placed all of his hope for the future and for his security in the hands of God. But was he now placing his hope for the future in his son Isaac, forgetting the one who had made the promise to him in the first place? So by means of this test, God wants to remind Abraham that his son is, after all, a gift, but that the future and the fulfillment of the promise still rests in the hands of God. We all have a tendency to get attached to the things and the people that we love, to the point that they become even more important to us than the one who gave them to us. We come to trust more and more in the gifts that God has given than we do in God Himself. Be they the people in our lives, our jobs, our homes, our bank accounts, our governments, we tend to think that these are the things that give us hope and a secure future. And we need to name that what it is. Look in the mirror at the smudge on your face. That's idolatry. And it needs to be wiped off of the record if we have any hope of a reconciled relationship with the one who gave us these gifts in the first place. And that's where the story of the Akhidah imparts its most powerful message of all. "Father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac asked. And in faith, Abraham replied, "God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And sure enough, that next day at the top of Moriah, it turns out that God would not require any sacrifice on the part of Abraham for any idolatry that he may have been guilty of. But God Himself would provide the sacrifice. God never intended that He would sacrifice Isaac, because God knew in His mind that the sacrifice would be provided by He Himself, the Father. And the ram in the thicket became the substitute sacrifice for that day, pointing us forward through history to the time when the Lamb of God would be provided for us by the Father and would be offered up on the cross to take away the sins of the world. And we stand here beneath the cross and we ask, who is this that is bound to the cross? And the father says, he is my son. Oh, one of many sons, I presume? And the father says, no, he is my only son. Well, then we say, you must not love him. And the father says, he is the son I love. Who is he, we ask? He is Jesus. And so the Father in heaven gives of himself what he would never ask of you, and what he would never ask of Abraham or anyone else. He gives his son, his only son, his beloved son, his Jesus. And he does not draw back at the last second. But this lamb, this son, must die. He is the lamb that God has provided, that would be sacrificed, that our lives may be spared, that we may be reconciled to God, and that we may be bound no more by the cords of death, but bound to the strong name of the Trinity, our life, our love, our hope, our joy. And we are hereby reminded by the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, that all of our earthly blessings shall pass away, whereas the giver of those gifts will be forever and always, as God has always been, the same yesterday and today and forever, as he was in the beginning, he is now, and he ever shall be, world without end. This is the God we love, the God we serve. Blessed be his name. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.